Welcome back, Buglers. We are back after a short hiatus, and we have a jam-packed episode just for you.
That's right. Season 2 is here. We are going to review Marvel's final Phase 3 movie, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Dun-dun-dun. But that's not all. This is the biggest week of the year for everything related to comics and Marvel Studios. Dropped some bombs. So let's get to it.
First off, spoilers. If you have not seen Spider-Man Far From Home, we're about to spoil everything for you. You have been warned.
And one of the things, I had the pleasure of watching this movie with Darren because, you know, Jade decided to make plans with someone else. Yeah. As we entered the movie, I actually looked over to Darren and I said, I'm like, I don't think Jade likes this movie. And that's honestly going, that was even before we watched the movie. I had a feeling Jay was not going to like it. So, you know, first up, Jay, I want to ask you, what did you love? And I know you definitely hated parts about Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay, so what did I love about Far From Home? I really loved the scene with Mysterio in his 3D visual world. I guess that to me was ripped right out of the comic books, it felt. And that was my highlight of the actual film. The ending, the thing I loved in the end was obviously J. Jonah Jameson, played by J.K. Simmons. Got a little awesome. Uproarious yay for me. I would say those are the two things I loved about this.
Wow. Tough room. Yeah.
But I'm not expecting anything more or less from Jay right. on Spider-Man. So what did you hate about it?
Oh, what did I hate?
Top five.
If you can.
If you can.
Well, the first thing I hated was the tone of the film. Because it didn't know if it wanted to mourn Tony or have a lot of fun. It also is quite clear to me that Uncle Ben is basically replaced with Tony Stark in this universe. So why would his death not be a bigger deal to him throughout the entire film? Why is professing his love for MJ? Also, where did that come from? Because that was not in the first film at all. He dies, he comes back. All of a sudden, he's in love with MJ. And now we got this little rom-com about it. I absolutely hated that Tony Stark's tech is still with him through this film. The drone scene made me want to throw up.
That's four.
I really, really hated all the comedy for the most part. Mostly because it interrupted these moments of, like, these real gravitas moments for Peter, when Happy and Peter are having that moment in the jet, I thought, this is it. This is a real Spider-Man moment. And then they just kind of flushed that down the drain with a joke. And then immediately after that, he was basically Tony doing the Tony things. And I'm like, but this is not Spider-Man. Why don't they get it? Why don't they understand that Peter Parker, at the end of Homecoming, he's by himself. And it's okay.
He chooses to be by himself.
Exactly. He chooses himself being enough at the end of Homecoming. And it's almost like they scrubbed that so that he could have as much tech in his shit as possible. Also, his Peter Tingle spider sense, like, comes back because Spider-Man? Like, I don't understand what changed and now he can do
I'll,
it.
I'll agree with you on that one.
Yeah. But didn't he start getting it in Infinity War?
Yeah, we saw that rise in Infinity War. But obviously he's had conversations with May about it not working.
Yeah.
And now it's working. I don't know. It was fluff. It didn't feel like after Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Endgame, that was what we should have got. This fun, light, silly, makes Spider-Man stupid. And if you're going to have a comedy, into a Spider-Man movie. Why isn't Spider-Man being funny while being Spider-Man?
I agree.
Maybe they're trying to take it in a different direction. Because Spider-Man is supposed to be a little bit like Deadpool in that he's very off the cuff and he's very loosey-goosey. And with all the stuff that's gone on and the very serious stuff that has happened and Tony's dying and all, and he died and came back, all that serious stuff, they're trying to get back to what Spider-Man's supposed to be.
I know overall, like for myself, I gave the movie a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, maybe a 7.5. Yeah.
A 7 out of 10?
It was still fun.
Holy crap, guys.
What I liked about Far From Home was, to be fair, I do like Tom Holland as Peter Parker. I don't think he's written great in any of his two main movies. I think the way he was written in Civil War, the way he was written in Infinity War, and as well, obviously, in a point where you actually feel like he's more like Spider-Man than he is in his own individual movies, which is kind of sucky for him. And I'm going to get, like, obviously, some of the things I don't like about it, but
I think Mysterio looked great. I was really impressed with how they did that. And I loved Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. I thought that was bang on. He was fantastic. You know, I want to use the air quotes, magic is his thing, because it's not real magic, but that's what it looks like. So there were a lot of good things.
You know, those are the things that I liked. I wish, and I'm going to probably say this later, I don't like MJ as MJ. And like, I think Zendaya is a great actress, but like, that is, if she's supposed to be a similar token to the MJ that we're supposed to get from the comics, it is nothing like what I want. And it was almost awkward.
Well, this is not Mary Jane. It's a different MJ. It's Michelle something. So it's a whole new...
But the awkwardness over two movies is just terrible.
I agree. I don't think they're awesome on screen together. This whole running towards her thing in the movie doesn't have a great payoff to me.
Yeah, I think I understand what they're trying to do with the teen angst and the does she like me, does he like me, does she know, does he... I get it. It just goes on way too long. That's the way I felt. I was just like, oh my God, shit or get off the pot. You know, like, she's not the only girl in the entire school. You know, go find someone else. Make some new friends. His best buddy found a girlfriend like that.
Like, even his best friend, I almost didn't even want to see in this movie.
Really?
Yeah, like, he was like, that comedic relief. And it was kind of funny when, you know... Fury like tranked him and everything, yes. But I don't know if he brought anything to the movie. Like there was nothing great about him in this movie. Like, yeah, there was like that embedded love story that was for the whole trip.
It kind of made no sense.
Yeah, because then we got the other love story, which you're like, oh, like let's get on with this.
Yeah,
but yeah, like no, I agree with you. Like it's, you know, she's weird.
Yeah.
Like, unless he likes that, but like, you know, one of the things I know Jay, we've talked about it a little bit, and Jay's obviously said, you know, Peter is a jokester when he is Spidey. Yeah, he's supposed to be awkward, not awkward.
Like, when you have Spider-Man smacking his head on a bell for comic relief twice when something really dangerous is going, that's not Spider-Man to me. Like, that's not the comedy he brings to it. He's glib and has one-liners and goofs off. And the reason he does it is because he's young and afraid. It's his coping mechanism to all this stuff that is a little too out of his scope.
Exactly.
Plus, let's be real, in the comic books, and this is one thing that I've always had a problem with these movies, is no one, and I mean no one, should be able to lay a hand on Spidey. He's got a Spidey sense that as soon as something's coming at him...
Yeah, but he doesn't have that here.
I know.
The one thing that obviously for me, like, I think every kid growing up, I think I've talked to everybody that I know that I love comics, Spider-Man is probably a top three or top five character for everybody. Right? So there's always that, right? There's always that you know, because when you're a kid, he's one of the few kid, other than probably Robin, who is a legit awesome super, superhero.
Yeah.
Right? So as a child, you looked up to a guy, he's like, oh, he's a teenager. I love his story. Yeah. He's in high school. He can do all these things. But when he puts on that cap, like, he becomes a man. All right? He, like Jay, like you're saying, he copes with all those things through those wit and everything, which is one of the only few things that I think the Amazing Spider-Man movies got fairly good was the fact that he was really quick-witted when he was Spider-Man, but he was also really quick-witted when he was Peter, which is kind of stupid. But, you know, I think for me, like, I just don't think they're writing these stories really well.
And this should be one of the easier characters to write because of everybody's world knowledge on Spider-Man. Because of the rich, rich history and amazing enemies in the comic books, he should be one of the easier of these to get right. Even if you're doing the high school angle, he should be easier to get right than an Iron Man or a Thor, especially a Thor. A Thor is tricky. So while there was some things to love and hate, what do you want from Spider-Man going forward? We know there is at least 2 to 3 more films that will feature Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Darren, what is next for the web crawler? What would you like to see in a Spider-Man movie going forward?
Unfortunately, with what we have done or what they have done with Spidey so far, I would like to see, honestly, if I'm being honest, I would like to see them undo a lot of stuff that they have done. I would like to see MJ different. I would like to see Aunt May different. I would like to see Spidey's sense in full play the entire time and not disappear for no reason. I would like to see that kind of stuff in play. Because as I was trying to say earlier, no one should be able to put a hand on Spidey. And for no reason, his Spidey sense is just gone. And then it comes back. I didn't like that at all. I had a real problem with that. That's a big part of why he is so glib. Because he knows he can, because nothing can hit him. As soon as something's coming, he can dodge it. You can't take that away and have Spidey be Spidey, in my opinion. Go ahead.
One of the things that I do want to see, obviously, there's a little bit of elements of the character being reinfused into it. And obviously, the Spidey sense is important. But I think one of the things that I like, if they're going to continue to move through these characters, you know, I was starting to care a bit more about Mysterio as a villain. Because there was obviously a lot of things in the background, right? There was a guy from Stark Industries, from like the original Iron Man. He had elements of different people from different movies that were actually all trying to build up and help him become, you know, this gigantic superhero. You know, if they're going to keep going forward, obviously there's still that Vulture. There wasn't that villain that kind of scared you like in their first movie. But Mysterio was a great villain in the sense for me was, you know, he brought something different, right? He almost was like another mentor. And then there was that no emotional release when he kind of found out that he was. So, like, I need a little bit more of that going forward from any of these movies. Obviously, there's going to be some form of integration with Venom, which, you know, Sony has the ability to do that, right? So we know that's going to come. I know it's not the best, but I honestly want a real suit. One of the things that, like, I hate the fact that it looks so fake. Yeah. Like, it looks wicked, but it's, like, that suit from, like, you know, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man?
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to get back to that for sure.
It looks, like, that still, I think, kills any of these suits that we see in some of these new movies.
We gotta move away from the villains being Tony's villains coming after Peter.
Yeah.
Peter needs his own villains. Like, Vulture, he didn't really hate Peter. He just hated him for getting in his way. But he was created by Tony.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep.
Mysterio hates Tony Stark. And Peter is just kind of collateral damage.
In the way.
In the way again. I want that final scene from Homecoming where Matt Gargan, who plays Scorpion, to really have a vendetta against Spider-Man. I want, when Venom to come in, Eddie Brock hates Peter Parker. Which, if they stick with Tom Hardy. I don't know how they're going to fuse that together. Yeah. Having Tom Hardy be like this hardcore journalist and Peter being this
kid,
18-year-old. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't know how that would fuse well. Yeah. I just genuinely want the villains to be Spider-Man villains in the way that Spider-Man sees them first. The world isn't, they don't hate the world. They want Spider-Man out of the picture because Spider-Man is the first one to make the connection, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't like how it keeps coming back to Tony. I thought I'd really like it, actually, because one of the trailers showed Spidey looking up at that mural of Iron Man. I was like, man, they could do something really interesting here. But then they just kind of made a goofy comedy. And like I've said before, in this universe, they're abandoning the Uncle Ben storyline and replacing it with Tony Stark, the hero. So, I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned about everyone knowing Peter's identity at this age.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any established villains that just hate him except the Vulture right now.
Yeah.
And now Scorpion. So to release that information in the world, the two villains who hate him are locked up already.
I think one of the things that they can kind of go with, though, from that is that obviously with the Skrulls having imitated members of S.H.I.E.L.D., they can use that as a way of saying, hey, no, I'm not this guy.
They could very easily get out of this cliffhanger.
Exactly.
Very quickly. Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's kind of cheap when you really...
It is a cheap. But
very cheap.
Did Mysterio know that Peter Parker's class was going to have this trip to Europe, and that's why he started doing all this stuff all over the place? Like, it seemed very convenient that the next stop on his, you know, show the world what I can do tour was in the exact same place that Peter's class trip was about to go to. How did that come about exactly?
Yeah, I don't know how that was, because ultimately he did want to get those glasses.
Yeah, it was all about the glasses. So the whole thing was a setup to get at those glasses. So he knew that Peter Parker's class was planning a trip, and I don't know, that seems a...
And if he knew all of that, he could have just been a really interesting, smart superhero in that he knew all this stuff and had to know it somehow. I don't understand why he couldn't just be that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let S.H.I.E.L.D. know. He could be like a real big CIA letting S.H.I.E.L.D. know things before they happen thing.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of questions around that. A lot of questions.
So ultimately, not a big fan.
No.
So finally, San Diego Comic-Con just finished, and the Marvel Studios delivered some exciting news on Phase 4. We're very excited about that. We're going to focus on the DC news another time. But Caesar, give us the overview on what's coming for Marvel's Phase 4.
I've been keeping close tabs, because obviously this is actually an event I really want to go to. I've been trying to convince my wife to do this. Yeah, I know. Probably not likely. But I've been keeping tabs. And obviously Hall H Saturdays are always the big event for everything. Yeah. And they dropped huge. So obviously we've got a Black Widow movie that's going to be coming out, which is going to take place... Not a prequel that originally people thought. It's actually going to take place right after Civil War, but before Infinity War.
Oh.
All right. And then we also have the Eternals movie, which I know Darren has been looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be huge if they do it right.
If they do it right. But the cast looks fantastic. You got Shang-Chi coming out. Doctor Strange is really going to be the one that's going to be bringing in the multiverse. And Wanda is joining him in this movie. Then we also got Thor, Love, and Thunder, which will finally bring us our first female Thor. Ooh. With the return of Natalie Portman. Right? And there's a few movies missing, and obviously these movies are only going up until 2021. And this is only for the next 2 years, right? So we don't have Captain Marvel, no Black Panther, or no Guardians 3 news yet, which I'm assuming will come out after. But they also came out with the Disney Plus shows. Right, which is Loki, Hawkeye, WandaVision, the What If, And then obviously the Falcon and Falcon and Winter Soldier, which will actually feature Baron Zemo as the villain. Cool. So a lot of massive news. So obviously we don't have a lot of time today, but I want to know what out of everything that I've just said, what are you looking forward to? Jay. And let's start off with Jay.
Yeah,
I am most looking forward to the series What If. I want it to be an animated series. I don't want it to be live action.
It is.
And I just, and I just want it to be wacky, crazy, amazing Marvel stories about the entire cinematic universe.
And that's what I think it's going to come down to. They've already confirmed that Chris Evans will be voicing his Steve Rogers, Captain America. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. Because we will get to know his story, hopefully, when he went back in time.
But we don't. I mean, my thing with the What If is that we don't. This is all out of canon craziness. And that was the best part of the comic book's What If. Like, you had the Watcher come in and it was like, what if Venom had an Uncle Ben? And then you show that story and it's crazy how they really think about that stuff. So it could be like, what if Steve Rogers
was the Hydra?
Screwed up the timeline and we get to see that. Like, it just asks all those fun questions that are not they're not a part of canon. They're just what if.
And that, you know, the sky's the limit with that, you know.
Exactly.
Especially
there.
When you animate it, that's, you can do anything, right? So that should be a lot of fun. You're absolutely right. I am looking forward to that now that you kind of given the overview of what it's going to be. That sounds pretty fun. But I'm also very excited to see the first female Thor. Come on! That's going to be epic.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Oh my God, that's going to be so epic. Now, where is this?
And obviously, the Marvel Universe has been doing that for a while in the comics.
Yes, right? They have.
A woman Thor.
Jane Foster.
Really excited. So, Darren, why are you excited to see Mjolnir held by Natalie Portman?
Well, I it brings up some questions, first of all, as to when this takes place and where, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see where this story originates from, how she becomes worthy to wield Mjolnir. And when we last saw it, but he took it back. He took it back. Right. So it's back in the timeline where it's supposed to be. Okay.
That's correct.
So yes, it's going to be interesting how she comes to possess the hammer. I can't wait for that story. That's going to be awesome.
I'm amazed that Marvel Studios got her back, considering she wasn't too excited for coming back for 3, which she didn't end up even doing. But, you know, that story in the comics right now is pretty heavy because she's actually dying of cancer. So the only way that keeps her moving is actually wielding the hammer and becoming Lady Thor, right?
Oh,
so
okay.
So it's going to be interesting how they do it, obviously, because, you know, at the end of Endgame, Thor gives, Tessa Thompson's character right now, Valkyrie, almost like the power to be the Thor,
right,
obviously, on Earth. And he wants to kind of do his own thing. So it's going to be an interesting, obviously, Waika Tikiti is coming back as a director. So there's going to be a bit of humor, which will be interesting. But I feel like, you know, some of the things, if that's not the one thing, obviously, to take away that I'm looking forward to. Obviously, I'd like to see, you know, better Ray Bill come into this.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they hinted that in Ragnarok, right?
I just want to see how they do the character in live action.
That would
be
badass.
Yeah, but I feel like you won't be happy with it. I feel like you won't be happy with it.
I don't know. I think everybody's looked pretty comic perfect for the most part.
Yeah, I agree.
But
So I would love to see like a horseman, crazy looking Mjolnir wielding. That would be amazing.
But the problem is it's going to be all CGI and you don't like that. You have a problem with that when there's too much.
Yeah, but I think
said that about Groot or Rock.
Yeah, they did.
Sorry, go ahead, Caesar.
No, then you're right. Like, they do Rocket really well. They do Hulk has been getting better ever since the first Avenger. So I think
you'd
be awesome.
Do it in a fantastical element. You'll accept it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't like when things look so fake, but I mean, Rocket looks in place.
Yeah. So So did Groot.
Caesar, what are you looking forward to most? Or did we already steal your thunder?
No, you know what? You know, to be honest, I knew What If was going to be a Jay thing. I knew Thor, although I had a little idea that maybe Darren would go with Eternals. I'm going to look forward to. I love Cap, so I think the idea of the Falcon Winter Soldier is going to be fun, especially with the villain. But I actually think Black Widow is going to probably be a really heavy spy-driven story, all right? And Taskmaster is the suspected villain for this movie.
Great villain.
Exactly, right? If you put a great backstory to this, this could be an excellent, excellent movie, and especially with Scarlett Johansson. They brought in a great surrounding cast for her. So for me, I think that's going to be the one that I'm going to look forward to the most. And then a little bit would obviously be Doctor Strange because of the multiverse, right? And that's supposedly has a scary, suspenseful vibe that's going to come with it, right? And so Black Widow number one and then, you know, Doctor Strange number two for me for those reasons alone.
So I just mentioned a TV show. I think out of the movies... All right, if I had to choose one of the movies, I think I would go with, Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
For sure.
Perfect. Oh, how about the TV shows, Darren?
The problem I have, though, is when they do TV shows, it tends to be very dialogue-heavy and very relationship-heavy. And for me, I get it that that's a part of what you want to see, but you got to move it along. You got to move it along, you know? We want to see the action. We want to see them use their powers. We want to see them go through, you know, dark times and find a way through and, you know, ups and downs. And not this constant, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. It just, it drones on too much. That's what I find with a lot of these superhero TV shows. There's so much dialogue. Let's go.
I think the one thing that might be that, like, and that's true, because I know we've seen that from a lot of these shows.
Yeah.
I think the only saving grace as to what this might be a little bit more action heavy is because it'll be on Disney Plus. Because they're going to want people to want to buy and subscribe. Yeah. And the fact that would be the only way to watch your favorite superheroes, like, WandaVision would be very heavy on the CGI and the effects. And yes. I'm also thinking Falcon and Winter Soldier, especially the fact that it's going to feel more like a buddy-buddy cop film or a TV show because they have great chemistry.
Yeah.
But
and WandaVision will be, if it's, again, anything like the comics, they'll probably be pretty funny.
Yeah.
And it'll be very... I don't know where that story is going to live because Vision is dead.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure what that, like, how they bring him back.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say is that as we have seen time and time and time and time again, is that no one's ever really dead. They're never really gone. They always find a way to come back, whether it's from a different universe or they put into another body, they always come back. So I think don't worry too much about that. He'll be back. He'll be fine.
One last thing really quickly. How do the Russo brothers play in to this TV landscape of Marvel? Do you know, Caesar?
No, I know they are at San Diego Comic-Con, and I think they're helping produce Falcon Winter Soldier, but they will not, they're kind of stepping away from most of their Marvel stuff to focus on a few other things right now.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I'm rewatching Community just as a sidebar, and the Russo brothers were executive producers through a ton of this show, and I love, if there's going to be some talking and just talking, I want it to be Dan Harmon and the Russo brothers kind of dialogue.
Yeah.
And the Russo brothers seem to get, you have to move action quickly through television.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
So, yeah, let's hope.
All right, Buglers, that's enough from us. That's our review of Spider-Man Far From Home and the MCU Phase 4. We want to know what you think, and of course, a big thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Comic Bugle. We'll be back again soon with more superhero news.
If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe to the show. You can leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcast.
And don't forget to send us your thoughts on Spidey and Phase 4 or any other comic book news. You can reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram at The Comic Bugle.
I'm Darren.
Yeah, I'm Caesar.
I'm Jay. Thanks again for listening, and until our next big story, remember, not all heroes wear capes.